Welcome to Find the Magic, the podcast that will help you honor yourself, your kids, and your partner.
We'll give you tips and strategies to create peace and authenticity within your family.
We inhale a ridiculous amount of books and life tools and distill the information for you. I'm Terilyn Griffin.
I'm Caitlin Gabriel.
And I'm Felicia Allen. Let's find the magic together.
What's up, you guys? Roger Jessup here with the Utah House Doctors. So you just bought your nice new house, and what happens when something goes wrong or something breaks? We have you covered. We have vetted several contractors, whether it be from a break in your sprinkler lines or your kid punched a hole in the wall and you just need a handyman. You have access to these people by following our page. And these are people that we know and trust.
Hey everyone, this is Terilyn, and I would just like to give a personal thank you to everybody who has left us a review. They are so kind. I seriously get like teared up when I read them. One of my most current favorites is from a mom. She says that our podcast came out about when her first baby was born, and she listened to our episodes on every walk that she'd go on, and she felt like she had like her best friends walking with her. So I just want to let you guys know that we've had a lot of people say that we feel like they feel like we are their friends. And I want you guys to know that we think about you guys all the time as our listeners. And I totally feel like you're our friends as well. So I just want to thank you for leaving us a review and let you know it is so helpful for us and our podcast success when you do leave us a kind review. So thank you. If you are willing to leave us one, you just go to search Find the Magic on Apple Podcasts, and then you scroll to the bottom of the page and leave a review, and then you make sure you push send after you leave the review and give us a rating. Thank you so, so much, and hope you have a beautiful day.
All right, I'm going to start us off with a facepalm today, and that is, I've gotten into a pretty bad habit of wearing, so we live in Utah, it's snowy, it's cold, and I'm in this habit of wearing like warm socks with like slip-on slide sandals. Mm-hmm. It's not cute.
It's classy.
At all. It doesn't go with any outfit. I know the teenagers are doing it. But that doesn't make it right. I see them and I think that's not cute, but it's addicting because you don't have to put shoes on, but it's in the winter. My feet are just as warm. Well, it's weird. As long as it's dry.
And it's an easy takeoff when you get to your destination.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, so we'll be going somewhere. I'm like, well, I'm just going to take my shoes off, so I might as well just wear slip-ons.
Especially for us, because I feel like wherever we go, it's like 5 minutes away and it's usually one of our houses.
I know.
So it's like,
just slip them off. What's the point?
Have you ever tried it with... Well, I call them flip-flops, but to describe, I'm talking about thongs. Like, that kind of goes between your toe. Have you ever done that with socks? Oh, it takes the class up a whole nother level. You should try it out.
But I feel like Cameron's been on that train for a while, so I don't even really think about it. Like, so I'm like, I totally support that, but I get it. It's not like the best looking look, but I can get behind that.
When I get somewhere with it, I feel, when I get in public... I feel not good about it.
I've started, well, and you come to the yoga studio with me.
Right.
So yeah, it's, so you have to acceptable. Take off your shoes. Yeah. I've started with socks. I have like flats, cute flats, my little Rothies that are, you know, made of recycled plastic, and you can throw them in the washer. So I love them.
Yeah.
But I started wearing with ankle socks because I'm going somewhere where I want the socks. And it is maybe more hideous than the flip-flop, than the slip-ons, because at least those, like teenagers wear those. What I'm doing is not worn by anybody.
Okay, hold on.
So
I'm wearing moccasins and ankle socks right now, so I don't even think this is a problem.
Group face mom.
Clearly we're not the right people to talk about when it comes to wearing fashionable shoes outdoors.
Mother, if you hear us.
Yeah. Oh, we're in trouble.
Plug your ears.
I'm sorry.
That's where the guilt comes from.
You taught us better. I know.
My mom has like the biggest shoe collection ever, and they are all so darling.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
And they match. She would never do any of this.
No.
It is a big faux pas.
But she accepts us, and we appreciate that acceptance. Thank you.
Well, I love that. Mine is also, mine's actually a face palm. Mine is to naps. So I My little boy has probably over the last month or two has kind of been like a little bit on and off with naps. Like he probably naps, I don't know, maybe like 60% of the time. I don't know, maybe more. And again, he actually still does go in his crib, and it's not like he cries in his crib. He actually just kind of like chills in there. So for the most part, it doesn't really affect me that much, because if I need a nap, he just, you know, he's just having fun and doing his thing. And I think it's like it is a good quiet time. I think he like needs a little brain reset. But it's kind of weird, because I thought that it was like a sleep regression, because they say that can happen around 18 months.
It's not coming back.
But it's like, yeah, it's been a while now. So I don't know if anybody has any thoughts on that. Maybe if, I'm like, am I doing something like wrong or differently that I should be? Because it's like, it's just weird that he has been so off with them. I know you guys kind of watched him. He took naps at your houses, right?
He stayed at my house for a few days while Caitlin was in Florida. And I would say he's such a good sleeper at night, and that he is staying in his bed during nap time. Just
roll
trust
with
that it's working.
Because, I mean, it's not like you can do anything to make him sleep. It's like you give him the environment and then just let it go. So that's kind of what I've been going with. But it's kind of, I think it's more just puzzling. Like, I'm like, what
does
is
he get
going
grumpy
on here?
At night?
So most of the time, I feel like he doesn't really seem that affected by it, but just 2 days ago, it was clear that it was like, oh, he needs to go to sleep, and there's like a lot of emotion happening that I think was due to the no nap. But for the most part, like, you wouldn't even really know that he hasn't napped. He kind of just acts the same.
Yeah. Everything you do with preparing him for bed, I mean, you have all the healthy sleep habits, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay, well, thank you. I'll roll with that then. Thank you.
Take that off your list of things to worry about.
<Thank you.
laughs> Never is the same though.
Yeah.
The quiet time
it
versus
isn't the
nap.
I just, yeah.
And when he was in my house, he was taking like 4-hour naps. So to lose any nap would be tragic, actually.
Yeah, seriously. And that's not to say, again, he still does nap. It's just like every other day he doesn't. And it's more puzzling. It's like, what's going on here?
Interesting.
But, anyway.
Okay, well, my high five is connected to shoes, but the high five goes to my husband, Jeffrey, who blew my mind last week, guys. I cannot tell you, I'm still like reeling over this. So do you guys remember a few episodes ago, my facepalm was that I broke my favorite clear sandals. I call them jalopies. I've had them since high school. I mean, like, I love them with all my heart, and they broke, and I was so overly sad about this. Well, first of all, high five that he was even listening to the episode. He listened, he heard that I broke them, and then he scoured the internet to find the exact same kind. Like, I had looked on Amazon and I couldn't find any. He just took the extra time to like really dig deep, found the same kind, like even with the little like sparkles in them.
Oh.
And he ordered me, guys, 10 pairs of them.
Oh my gosh, that is such a gesture.
You're set for life.
He got two different kinds. The kinds, and then he got like a couple of just clear without the little sparkles in it. Because he's like, I wanted you to have the ones you loved. But he's like, I also saw these ones. And they're even closer to bare feet because they're totally clear. And so, yeah, in front of the kids, he like brings out and he's just 10 pairs of jalopies for me. So that'll last me, what, like 2-3 more decades?
Yeah,
so
probably.
Yeah. I think I'm set.
That's set for life.
Isn't that so sweet? So now every time I wear them, I now think I have my jalopies back, and think how much I love Jeff. How sweet is that?
Oh, Jeff,
so, like,
cute.
So thoughtful. So, high five to you, Jeffrey, for listening and finding them.
That's awesome.
For both.
He is such a gift magnifier. Gifts, or we'll say, bring drinks to a party, and he'll bring like 10 times more than any other normal human would bring, and 50 flavors, and just magnifies.
He's spectacular at that.
That's true.
All right, so we are adding a fun little section to the podcast. We're gonna test it out. It might stay, might sometimes be here, might sometimes not, because we're in charge. But
we're the bosses here.
We're the boss. We had a listener question to share, like do a book dump of our favorite books, but we thought, why not just add if there's anything we're really loving to each episode? Because, you know, we love to read. So the two, I'm going to share one book today, and that is Think Like a Monk by Jay Shetty. I love this book because Jay is talking about Buddhist concepts, but in a super easily digestible way. His voice is amazing. He's a really good storyteller. And, I mean, there's not many books that I would say are in my top, like, must-reads, but I would put this one up there. It's fantastic. And then I also wanted to share a podcast that I just started listening to that's called Hurry Slowly. Have you guys heard of it?
No.
But basically, it's all about finding more calm and clarity in each day through your work, but without feeling like a rush or not getting caught in like procrastination and overwork and like the fake busyness, which those kind of things I'm all really drawn to. So it's, you know, it's like the concept of the striving that we talk about.
Striving while satisfied.
Yes.
Hungry while full.
Yes.
Yeah. Love it.
That whole concept. So many good interviews. I'm loving it.
Cool.
It's a podcast?
Podcast.
Hurry slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Love it.
Very cool. So my book that I wanted to share, so Terrell's going to share another book that we are reading for a podcast in the future that's awesome. It's more of a parenting book. But I thought that I would share, and I'm also reading Think Like a Monk that Felicia mentioned. I'm loving it. It's awesome. And the narrator's fantastic. It's the author, and we were talking about it. We love his voice. It's great. But the one that I'm going to give, because sometimes I'm just such a, I love reading parenting books. I love self-help books. But sometimes I'm just such a sucker for, like, just a good, entertaining read. Mm-hmm. So mine that I have read in the past 6 months, that's just like, I feel like sometimes, especially, I don't know, with 2020, things get a little serious. And I read a book, and I didn't have to wait at all for it on the library. And it's called Dad is Fat, and it's by Jim Gaffigan, the comedian. Terrellyn listened to it too.
So good.
From my library.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
It is freaking hilarious. It is so funny. Like, I find myself, because when I listen to it, you know, I'll listen to it while I'm walking around doing chores and whatever. And I just laugh out loud. Like, I mean, probably every 2 minutes I'm like laughing about something. And so sometimes it's just good to have a good laugh. And I don't think I'd ever listened to a book that was written by a comedian before. And so it really is just either listening to like a comedy show for a few hours. You know, it's a book, so it's what, 5 hours long or something. So it's hilarious. And if you just need a good laugh, it's a totally different book that was
that
so.
Really
and it's
good.
It is actually hilarious because it's obviously called Dad is Fat. But it's mostly about parenting and like hilarious things that we do as parents or that we think as parents. So it's really good. It's good.
Okay, I'm adding it to my list.
Okay, what I'm reading right now is The Child Whisperer, and we're going to be talking about it in a future episode along with Think Like a Monk. So the fun thing about Child Whisperer by Carol Tuttle is that it is in my top 5 favorite parenting books of all time. So I've already read it twice. This is my 3rd time through, but it's been maybe a couple of years. So I just love it because as I'm reading, I'm like every 5 seconds to Jeff, like, oh my gosh, I forgot how good this is. It's just so good. It's about embracing who we are and who our children are and not forcing them into a different mold. Because as we all know, trying to be somebody else is never as good as just trying to be ourselves. So I am so pumped about our future episode about that. But that's what I'm currently reading and I am loving it. So the cool thing about this is if you ever want to read ahead before we talk about an episode, then talk about it on an episode, then now you know what we're reading.
All you upholders out there.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so today we get kind of patterns of questions, and so today we're going to answer a few questions that kind of follow along the lines of things we get asked a lot, and we're also trying out something today. Most of the time, we hash it out ahead of time so much. And this morning, Felicia wanted to try. We might have differing opinions on these guys. And you're just going to see it. You're just going to
expose.
Yeah, you're just going to hear as we kind of wrestle with these concepts. So this one is, we're not actually, sometimes we say the first name of the person or whatever name they give us. But this time we're not going to because it has to do with somebody that she knows closely. So we don't want to, you know, lose the confidentiality there. But here's the question. I have a question about my 4-year-old's friendship with our neighbor girl who was 5. I'll get straight to the point and say I don't like the way she plays with my daughter. My daughter adores this girl. I don't know if I'm being overly sensitive, but her friend is so bossy, and when they play with dolls, her characters are mean, bossy, and rude. She also has all of the girl dolls behave like mindless idiots and melt all over the boy dolls because they're so strong and handsome, in quotes. I feel absolutely ridiculous typing this out. The play is so shallow, and when my daughter and I play, I find her making her girl doll seem completely mindless and boy crazy and focusing only on the looks of the dolls as well. I don't want to control their play, but everything about it is not what I would ever hope my daughter would esteem as important. What can I do to help my daughter focus on more than just looks and trying to get a guy's attention in her doll play? Also, I'm good friends with this neighbor girl's mom. Please, please, that's why we didn't include the name. Please, please give some advice or just tell me I'm a lunatic for looking so deeply into doll play. Ha ha.
Oh, guys. That's a lot. I honestly, I mean, I think my first instinct as a mom is, yeah, like how she feels. Like, you do want to step in when you see any sort of, I mean, at least I think for me, I don't have girls, so I haven't seen, my boys don't do a lot of, like, acting out pretend play like that. But obviously, there's all sorts of play that I feel like I want to step in on all the time. Rough play, or especially, like, the mean, bossy, taking advantage of other kids, that kind of stuff. It's hard to watch as a parent, but I think she's wise to be observing right now and not jumping in. And maybe she will jump in at some point if you know, it gets to a certain point. But my advice would be to get curious about it, which you already have, and then bring that curiosity to your daughter. So if it were me, and I would say something like, it seemed like, you know, today when you guys were playing dolls, I saw you guys playing this, this, and this. How do you feel about that? Or do you like when your friend is playing this character and saying this and this? How does that make you feel? I think that when I get curious with my kids, oftentimes it brings up things like, no, I don't really like when they say that. And then we can have a conversation.
Yeah, I agree with that. The only thing I would add is, if you're going to ask questions like that, if you come across as, because I don't like this, then it's going to probably make her feel like she just doesn't want you to see it when they play like that. So a couple things here. I totally like Felicia. My first instinct is, yeah, oh my gosh, change it. But then I'm trying to think of, I'm channeling Janet Lansbury and think, okay, hold on. If I'm seeing her as a whole person, our first job as parents, I really believe, I actually think we have two jobs as parents that are, for me, like the highest ones. One is to protect our kids, and the second is to love them for who they are. Those are like my two big things. And protecting them is from things that are really dangerous to them. Predators, really strong bullies. However, I think a lot of stuff on the internet, but I think a lot of parents see, and she didn't use the word bully here at all, but I've seen a lot of questions come through, and I've listened to a lot of people actually ask Janet Lansbury about this, where they think it's like a really huge issue, but it's really not. It's actually just kids.
Right.
And so in this situation, this is such a good example, because the bossiness, first of all, this is not the first time that your daughter is going to come across bossy people. So this is where kids learn to navigate this, right? And asking curious questions is how they figure out how they feel about it and how they feel about being bossy. But if you try to like hop in and like make the bossiness not happen, it doesn't stop it, right? And then about the like how they're playing. Again, nothing here is like something that you need to protect them from. It isn't like a line that's like, oh my gosh, this is a problem, like a really big problem. This is just, you're not loving how the roles are kind of playing out. So I would say, we know from psychology that play is how children process things. So they're just testing out this, right? Like they're testing out the masculine and feminine roles. So whether you agree with those roles or not is one thing, but they're just kind of testing them out through play, and play is a really safe place to do it. So I would say I would kind of take off the pressure of like, I got to control this play to make it look like I want it to look, and know that like they are kind of figuring it out. This is a safe place to do it, about like crushes and, you know, that kind of stuff, and being saved or whatever it is that they're playing out. However, I love, I think Felicia hit on the magic word, is curious. You're observing. You're not going to like shame them like, oh my gosh, that girl in your play was not smart enough. Yeah. Girls are smarter than that, okay? They don't need a man to save them, you know? Like, if you say it like that, then she's going to be like, oh, I'm embarrassed, and now I just want to like make sure my mom doesn't see it if the girl's getting saved or whatever. But I think if you can say it curiously and say, so yeah, how do you feel about that? And just let her check inside of herself. I mean, because they're young and that's a deep conversation. So, I mean, you're probably not going to get into a great in-depth thing about gender roles, but just asking her. And then I think our power as parents, honestly, is through curiosity, but our true power is through modeling. So I don't think anything this girl is going to say about a guy being, like, modeling some girl being ditzy is not going to have any power compared to the power you give her by not being a mindless idiot girl, as you said, right? Mm-hmm. You being a strong, confident woman who knows yourself and is a whole person, I think is going to have 100 times more influence than any friend ever can. So she'll see the difference, and that's what I would focus on the most. Curiosity in having conversations with her without judgment. And because, again, this is still all safe. Like, this is all still safe stuff we're talking about. And two, your modeling is going to have the greatest influence of all time over what she sees a woman should be. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'd say.
I was going to add to that the modeling. So having Wes as just a baby, and Terlyn, you have two older daughters. How have you... I've heard mothers of daughters say it's hard when, you know, like cartoons, movies, all of these things are, if you're talking about modeling kind of like the save me mindless, like princess, which I love princesses. Okay. I think I loved those movies growing up, and I feel like those movies don't, watching them doesn't mean that you're just going to be a mindless, like save me. Mm-hmm. But how do you balance that with daughters? Because I feel like your daughters are very strong in their abilities. Mm-hmm. Like, they feel confident as mm-hmm. girls.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I love this. I feel like we could actually talk about this for a long time, because we're talking now about a deeper concept, right? Gender roles in general.
Right.
So there have been times where... So I feel like as a woman, I want to be a strong, whole woman. However, I appreciate when my husband, I mean, my girls watch my husband totally save me sometimes, mm-hmm. right? And it's romantic, and he opens doors for me. And if something breaks, he'll be like, let me fix that. Mm-hmm. Not that I can't fix it. It isn't that I'm like incapable.
Well.
Hold on. There are things we do for each other that are our, you know what I mean? Like, there are mm-hmm. things that I do for him. And there are things that he does for me. And I think there's nothing wrong with in a relationship where you find what is the balance for you in the masculine and the feminine, right? And for everybody, that looks different. So I have no problem with them seeing him and me and how we're modeling. Like, I like how we're modeling our relationship. That it doesn't mean that, like, I never need you, Jeff, right? Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. that we help each other and we're both whole, strong people on our own. So that being said, so that's just one thing. And again, everybody feels differently about that. But in answer to your specific question about modeling, then, that we see every second in the media, we just have conversations. And again, I try to not lead it with a, did you see how dumb that person was? Mm-hmm. So for example, I've noticed in a lot of sitcoms, and this is another thing about let's limit media, right? I mean, like, I don't cut it out because we watch movies we love it. But... for example, there's a few, like, they're like kid kind of comedy sitcoms. The dad, and this is common in adult sitcoms too, but the dads are often portrayed as like kind of dumb idiots.
And I hate that so much.
Like, they're just aloof. Yeah. The mom, so it's the opposite of the situation.
Mom runs
the mom runs it, knows what's happening, and the dad's just like aloof. Like, I don't know what's happening. And they're just like a comedy piece there. And so I love it when I have conversations. Like, I'll point out that Jeff does something, and I'll be like, do you notice how he's different than the dad in this show? Mm-hmm. And just let them observe that there's a difference, right? Like, Jeff knows what's happening. He knows how to just jump in, and, like, I never have to be like, I mean, he'll just come home. Like, if we're tidying and the tidying's not done when he gets home, he just hops in and does it, right? Like, he just jumps in with us. There's no part of running our household that he couldn't do, right? Mm-hmm. And when I go places sometimes, I sometimes come back and I'm like, you did this better than I do. Seriously. But I love it that they can see that there is a difference, right? Like, so they can see, and you can do it without saying, that's bad, this is good. You're just having an open conversation, and they come to that conclusion themselves. Anytime you can get a kid who can come to a conclusion on their own, besides instead of telling them what the moral of the story is, right? It's so much more powerful. So they can say, yeah, daddy's way different than that daddy on the on the show. And so I think just having those conversations. Or, I mean, I love it in Frozen where they say, you can't just marry a man you just met. Like, I mean, the conversation in general is changing, but it's fun because now when we watch, like, Cinderella, they'll be like, wait, she only met him one night and she wants to marry him? And again, I don't have to say, do you think that's a dumb idea? Because I think it's a dumb idea. They just, they're like, you can tell they're, like, curious. Like,
totally.
Why would you marry somebody if you just met him at a ball, right? And I don't have to go into a long diatribe about it. I can just be like, yeah, yeah. When you guys get married, like, trust me, you want to know somebody really well, right? And you can just leave it at that, you know? Because they're smart. So I think just having those conversations and then modeling, and letting them see the difference. And as I'm saying that, I'm like hearing you guys, I'm hearing you say, okay, so what if I don't have, what if I don't, in our home, we don't have a situation where we can model the balance between masculine and feminine. Either you don't have a partner of any kind, or maybe your partner isn't modeling what you want. And that gets trickier. However, I just want to say that I still think you modeling yourself what you want. So if you're a dad listening to this, you just model who you want a man to be. And if you're a mom listening to this, you model who you want a woman to be. Because we can't control our partners, and we can't control really anybody else. So when it comes down to it, I think you just modeling what you think is important, who you want to be. And again, I think that's, I don't want anybody to listen to this thinking, well, my husband isn't modeling that, or my wife isn't modeling this, so what, am I just stuck? And I would say, no, you're never stuck. You're never trapped. You can always model what you want, and that influence over your children is going to be huge. And you can have open conversations with your kids regardless of what anybody else in your life is doing. So you still have a lot of power. That's what I'm saying.
And I also love thinking about the balance that you, it, being a strong woman and modeling that doesn't mean you're putting down your husband or men and vice versa. Because I think sometimes that you can get in that trap. Like if women are powerful, then men aren't.
Yeah.
But we need to build up both.
Yeah. The discussion of power being finite that we talked about with brave women. It isn't, us having power doesn't take away from men's power. And them having power doesn't have to take away from our power.
Right.
We both have infinite power, and they're different. And even as I say that, it's also different in every situation, right? It's just owning your own power. That's all it is.
I have kind of some thoughts. Just mostly, I feel like as I was reading this question from this listener, just kind of going back to the play thing, I've definitely found myself, because I think my, so I'm like wondering what you guys think just with one thing on this. Because I feel like sometimes, as I was like reading this, I was like, oh, I could totally, even though my kid is a lot small, like younger than her little girl, I just think there's sometimes where, I think a lot of times I do hang out with other people that have kids that are older. And so sometimes there's like certain things where it's like you're around other kids and it's like, oh, I don't really want them to like take on that behavior, you know, or like I don't really want them to start doing that or this or that. So like there's some of this that as I was reading, I was like, oh, I can totally relate to like not wanting your kid to then like, you know, she doesn't want her little girl to like take on this mindset of, or whatever. So I think along with that, I love that you like, because I feel like one of the things that I thought of was the playful parenting, that it's like play is just like a way that kids work things out. And so I think like when we try to like manage play, it doesn't, like it's so much healthier for our kids to just do it. So I totally agree with that. But I'm wondering, do you guys think there's a way, if you do see behavior that it's like, oh, I really don't want them to do it, do you think it still is just like, well, they can figure it out and I'll still model good behavior? Or do you think there's like a way to, I don't know, because I think sometimes that's what I think is like, I just don't want him to like take that on, you know?
Because they do. We've all been on a trip with somebody, or even a play date, and you come back and your kid's doing the stuff that the other kid was doing, and it's like, ugh. Shut up, stupid butt. Whatever. Even, you know, even like really violent play, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. When I say violent, I mean like a lot of shoving or whatever. Yeah. Potty words, all those things. Like, you know, we go somewhere with people and we come back and I'm like, ugh. We caught it.
Caught the
contagion has been passed. And yet then it fades and you just keep modeling and doing your thing.
Yep.
with the exception of if you ever think that something is unsafe or wildly inappropriate. You know, if you're like, this has crossed my boundary. But honestly, even with, I mean, with those things we just mentioned, that even taking toys, that even is a little, you'll notice when when you play with another kid who takes a ton of toys, when you get home, your kid's going to be taking some toys for a little bit.
Or like pushing, because right now, like 18 months old, it's like pushing, shoving. Right. Like,
yeah,
that's like another thing where it's like, oh, I don't really want him to do that. But then it's like, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably just all part of growing up and accepting that.
But you respond to all those things, right? So it isn't like you're not responding to these things. If your kid is hitting, you're still going to walk up and say, I won't let you hit you, and you're going to move your kid to a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
If your kid is saying things that you don't want, we've talked a lot about potty words, but you can either choose to not say anything, or you can choose to say, when my boys are with friends, I'll say the, ooh, can you guys think of an even funnier word that's like even more funny? Like, use your smart brains to figure it out. And even if they're little friends, like, my son's not even embarrassed by it, but I am clearly redirecting the conversation, and they come up with hilarious words, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chicken flat face doodle, I think, is my favorite.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, so sometimes I will redirect if I'm like, okay, this is getting a little out of hand, guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't do it in, like, a come in, because, again, they're just going to go in, then they're just going to, like, run into the other room. And,
yeah.
And I want them to be playing where I can hear them. And know that I might redirect, but anyway, so
yeah.
So I think just knowing that, yes, your kids are going to pick up behaviors from other kids. And that is why this is a good time to review that people think that kids being around other kids all the time is necessary for their socialization. And yes, it's good to have your kids around other kids. But most research studies that I've read say that it is how your parents interact with the world and your connection with your parents that predicts your future sociability. So if how I interact with people around me and how deeply connected I am with my own children and as they watch me, that's going to have way more effect on how they are as adults and teenagers and older kids than how much time I give them with their wild counterparts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Right. So totally. It's just, I think sometimes we overemphasize that need
them to
but knowing that it's actually us who's teaching them their social skills. And I think that is totally true. I mean, my kids' behavior now as they get older, I'm impressed the most with the things they do that I see them. It's from me, not from their friends.
Right.
Right?
Totally.
And now they're applying it to their friends. And I see them treating them, but they didn't learn that from their four-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, like, that just isn't how it goes. So, anyway, I thought that was an interesting concept. And it kind of lets you off the hook of being like, first of all, it just gives you more power. You just know the power that you have, that as long as you keep focusing on connection with your child, then, and how are you treating people?
Right.
That's really where you need that's like your main primary focus.
Yeah. And just to be clear, I think, like, the behavior that I'm talking about is, like, pretty tame, just normal toddler behavior that it's like,
but you still
don't love
your
that,
kid.
You know? But yeah, exactly.
But it's like, undesirable. It's unpleasant.
Yeah, totally. And I think one thing that I think you said, Felicia, because I was like, man, like, what are you, like, this was probably a couple months ago. But I do really like the thought that it's like, all of our kids are going to do something or lots of things that it's like, oh crap, like, I don't love that.
Yeah.
And your kid might be the one that like is maybe spreading, but it's like, you know what? That's just part of being a toddler is you just,
and guess
do
what?
Things that are...
It doesn't end.
Yeah.
So my daughter is 12, and we just had, it was a group, you know, we host little friends, and one of them, who usually doesn't come, she came, and she, just the way she was talking about boys was totally different. Like, I feel like my girls and their friends are just so, you know, like, they're talking about, like, unicorns and stuff. And she was like, you know, I have this guy at school that I like, and anyway... But I liked it because they were totally open with me about it. Like, as she was talking, and I mean, like, I was like,
starting to get the mom cringe.
But again, still within the realm, like, I didn't feel like there was anything I actually had to protect from. This is like normal part of growing up, talking about boys. But I was thrilled that they were willing to, like, talk about it in front of me. And had I come in and been like, okay, if you have a boyfriend, then you are out. Like, you can't even play here. We're not doing that right now. Then it would have just shut it down completely, right? And I would have just cut myself out of that communication.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, I want to be part of it. For me, I want to maintain the communication. So And it's hard because it does, I mean, it's hard because some of it's like, yeah, if I were to choose, I would choose my kids only into unicorns until they're 18. Mm-hmm. But I can't, totally. Right?
Right.
Totally. So how can we just be connected, model, and then protect from the things that we feel like that we need to have hard boundaries about? But I mean, so what you're talking about as a two-year-old, I'm still doing with a 12-year-old, but it's just different subjects. Right. Right?
Yeah.
We're not worrying about pushing in potty words anymore.
Right.
We're worrying about different things.
Yeah, totally.
And if your personality is to be more direct, which I feel like sometimes mine is, like I want them to know my stance on things instead of just have it be... sometimes I feel like, okay, I'm modeling and I know that's the strongest, but I need to say this.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that.
And so I like to focus on... And this is actually from... is something that has often come into my mind that Caitlin and Terlyn and my husband's mom, Jeannie, who we've talked about a lot, did, and that was in our family. So it's like an identity in our family.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do this.
Yes.
And I often think back to her doing that and think, man, it was like their own little tribe and it was like an identity.
Yeah.
You guys didn't do that because you didn't do that in your family.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if that's always the answer, but sometimes if I use that, you know, in our family, in the Allen family, we don't do that.
Yeah.
And my kids really are like, oh, they kind of latch onto it.
Mm-hmm.
That strong pull towards family identity.
This is part of who I am.
It works. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unity. I'm glad you clarified that. Because I feel like as I was talking, it was more like, just talk about it and model it, but don't judge with that curiosity. I mean, with curiosity, without judgment. But I think that that's an important thing. There are a lot of times where it's like, and I love when I hear my kids say,
right,
we don't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, other people do that, but we don't do that.
Right.
And I think that is an important, it creates unity
and
identity.
If you were doing that all the time, your kids would probably push against it. Like, use it for select things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But things that are really important to you.
Right.
Yeah.
We include, Griffins include other right. people. And we don't, and as my kids get older, like, I love it when the same actually little girl, she was playing a song and it had a word in it that we don't say, and Lydia was like, oh yeah, we don't listen to that, you know. Like,
from Monica, she says, hello, I have a question and was hoping you all could guide me to an answer. My 3 almost 4-year-old has a tendency to continue to do something even when I say please don't do that. Example, I put chapstick on her lips and explained why she needed to not lick it off, but sure enough, she just kept licking it. I'm sure you have answered a question similar before, but I couldn't find it. Another example, she was in the bathtub the other night, and she was trying the bubbles. So I told her, hey, please don't try the bubbles. They will make you sick.
Like eating the bubbles.
Yeah. Yeah. And she kept grabbing handfuls of bubbles and shoving them in her mouth. As she kept eating them, I kept telling her to stop and realized she was going to continue to do it opposite of what I asked. Yesterday, she was with my sister-in-law, and she had buttons in her hands. My sister-in-law asked her to give them to her, and my daughter ignored her, and then all of a sudden, put her hand up in the air and slowly dropped them on the floor. I, like, love these stories, because it's just, like, so...
picture it.
Classic. Just, like, all of them dropping. Slowly dropped on the floor. She did pick them up afterwards, but it was just the fact that she completely ignored my sister-in-law's instructions. I understand she's testing boundaries, but I just don't know how to get her to listen. Okay, I love all of these because, first of all, I feel like, I don't know, I have, again, a kid that's younger than this, but there's always times where I'm like, oh, that's not, like, I don't want that. And there's just, like, so many little behaviors. I think the first thing that I thought of is, and there's so many behaviors where I totally relate, like, I don't know. The chapstick, first of all, sometimes Emmett will bring me a chapstick and, like, for me to put it on him. And he just, like, has his tongue out the whole time. Like, as I'm, like, putting it around, his little tongue's just, like, licking it.
It is a snack.
So, yeah. Which, I mean, chapstick's pretty delicious. So yeah. I totally get it. I think, like, my first thought with this is sometimes, and, like, for me, Emmett's my only one right now, it's so easy to become kind of myopic or, like, nearsighted when you're the parent, especially, at least for me, like, the parent of one kid, because it's just, like, he's the only one, I'm pretty focused on him, and so I think, like, sometimes it's really easy to get sucked into, like, certain, you know, like, issues or things that I'm running into where I'm like, oh my gosh, like, he's just doing this, and, like, I don't know why he's doing it, and I'm not sure, like, what the problem is, and, like, I think sometimes it's really good, though, because I feel like even when he was a brand new, I would come to Terlyn and Felicia and my mom and be like, okay, this is what's happening. Is this something that I even need to worry about? Or can I just, like, let this go? And most of the time, they'd give me some thoughts or suggestions. But then it'd be like, you know what? It's okay. Like, you can just let that go. And sometimes it's nice because it's like, when you are in the middle of it and it is your day-to-day, it feels like sometimes little things feel like a big deal because you're seeing it every day. And I think sometimes it's easy to chalk it up to maybe something bigger. It's like, oh my gosh, she's being so defiant.
Yeah, you know,
like,
she's never going to listen to me in her life.
What's the deal here?
Right.
And I think, so it's kind of, at least for me, it's really easy to get sucked into like, this is a major issue here. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes taking a step back, sometimes it takes maybe asking other people, like just kind of like getting maybe like a grounding zone of like, okay, is this as big of a deal as I'm thinking it is? And maybe sometimes it's even just asking yourself, like, let me take a step back here. Hold on. Like, mm-hmm. is this chapstick as big a deal as I'm thinking it is? Mm-hmm. Or is it okay? And can I just let it go?
Mm-hmm. Totally. I agree with that. And to that point, I think exactly what Caitlin's saying, if you can adjust your expectations towards what your 3, almost 4-year-old is going to do, you can give yourself a little like breathing room. I don't know. So take a step back. I think it's, for me, I would think, why wouldn't I, if I'm a kid, if I put myself in their shoes, the chapstick tastes good. I want to lick it. The bubbles are cool. They pop in my mouth when I try to bite them. So if you can kind of get in their little kid mind, I think you'll have more empathy towards what she's doing. And then if there are things that are really bothering you, if you really feel concerned that the bubbles are going to make her sick, you could not put bubbles in the tub. Remove these situations. So the chapstick, just don't put chapstick on her. If that's really frustrating you that she's licking it, sometimes I see repetitive things that are bothering me with my kids, but I can just remove the conflict altogether. Mm-hmm. And then also,
and you can do vasopressin if they still really need something, but right. Something that doesn't taste good.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If their lips are, I put, if my kids' lips are chapped, I always put Aquaphor or whatever on in their sleep.
Oh.
Because my kids are actually the opposite. They don't want any lotion, any chapstick, anything. They hate it all. Mm. And so it would be like a wrestling match, but sometimes their lips will be really chapped.
So you like sneak it at night.
So at night I go in and just it's like a secret little parent win. I'm like, mwah, ah, ah.
You will have soft, supple you lips. Will have. Kids do get chapped lips sometimes.
Oh, it's, and sometimes they get cracky, yeah. And then the last little bit of a suggestion I would get would be selective on your nose, because it could be that you're in this trap of not wanting her to, telling her not to do a lot of things. And I feel like when you get in that trap, kids just like push it off of that.
Mm-hmm.
So just anything you can say yes to, go to the yes and save the nose for really big stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, the only thing, I love everything you guys said. The only thing I would say to add to that is we just talked about the 4 tendencies an episode or two ago, and all kids have a rebel tendency in them, mm-hmm. right? They are literally testing their power. Mm-hmm. So what you can use that works very well on small children is the recipe of information, consequence, choice. Information, consequence, choice, just mm-hmm. those 3 things. So in these situations, first of all, can I just say, if this were me talking to myself, I would say all these situations that you just mentioned, I would just let go.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I like licking chapstick, and the more you focus on it, the more she's going to lick it.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it. Like, I'm with what you guys said about, like, and eating bubbles. I think I ate so many bubbles as a kid, and it never made me sick. So
yeah.
I actually would just let him go.
Yeah.
However, that being said, what you're talking about here is you're feeling like she's not doing what you want, right? In fact, you're saying that when you say no, she just does the opposite. So first of all, I just want you to know this is so normal.
Totally
so just
normal.
Pat yourself on the back saying, I have a normal child. Second, though, if you do that recipe, how that would look is it would look like, you know, I want you to leave the chapstick on your lips because the consequence is, it's going to help your lips not be chapped. If you keep licking it off, your lips are going to be dry, right? That's a consequence.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not enforcing some arbitrary consequence. Like you have to sit on timeout if you lick your lips or mm-hmm. whatever. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to punish her for this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, if you lick the chapstick off, it will be off
mm-hmm.
and you'll get chapped lips. And then the choice is, then you just let it go.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying don't give information and consequences. I'm just saying there's a possibility, then you can just let it go. And it's not even a power struggle anymore. So she loses the desire to do it over and over and over because, except for the chapstick, well, and the bubbles, they both are appealing. But she might, it won't be such a thing anymore, right? Mm. So just information, consequence, choice. How that would look with bubbles is, I see you're eating the bubbles. They feel really cool in your mouth. So you're starting with empathy, right? I bet they feel really cool in your mouth when they pop. I'm worried that if you eat too many bubbles, it might make your stomach not feel good. Again, that being said, I don't know if that's true because my kids and I have eaten a lot of bubbles. And I think it's okay, but I don't know. I'm not a doctor. So you could say that. You don't know, but that might be a thing. But again, I wouldn't put an arbitrary consequence on it. I wouldn't be like, if you keep eating bubbles, then I'm going to never let you have a bubble bath again or whatever.
Right.
I would just say, that's why I don't want you to eat them. And then just give her the choice and mm-hmm. not even say it again. And I guarantee that she's going to eat a lot less bubbles.
Yeah.
Right? Because nobody's going to eat a lot of bubbles. Like, you just eat some and it's done. But if you're saying, somebody's saying no, she's going to eat a lot more bubbles mm-hmm. if you're saying no. Mm-hmm. Right? Over and over. She's going to be like, yes, these bubbles are delicious. Yeah. It's like when you say you can't have chocolate cake. You eat a whole cake. Whereas if you just, I'm going to enjoy this chocolate cake, you eat a piece and you're like, I'm satisfied. Mm-hmm. So my prediction is that she'll be satisfied with her bubble eating. If she doesn't feel that like she'll power struggle, she'll be satiated by a bite or two and then be done. And then, so anyway, so that'd be my only thing, is just add in that recipe of information, consequences, choice. And again, don't misunderstand me here. I'm not saying to enforce arbitrary consequences. I'm just saying there are, and the buttons, oh my gosh. Just so you know, we all laughed when we read this question because we have all had our children so many times do the, they're holding something, they look you directly in the eye with the hand up and just slowly open up the fingers. Just like, I will not do what you're saying. Just, or the cup. You have a cup in front of you and they just look at you and just slowly pour it out. Like, what you going to do about this, Mom? What you going to do? And they're testing you. Are you going to freak out? Or are you going to say, wow, you made a mess. Mm-hmm. How do we clean up messes? Here's a towel. Oh, I see you're having a hard time. Let me take a towel too and we'll do it together. You know, like you're just walking through. You're unruffled. You're not upset by it. The button, in this situation, the buttons are on the floor. Wow, you dropped the buttons. What do? We pick them up.
Yeah.
And if she holds back on that too, then you just say, here, we're cleaning up together. And you sing a cleanup song and it's not even a big deal. You're modeling it. And eventually she's going to get to the point where she picks up her own buttons really well. You know?
It sounds like she did here.
And she did. So congratulations, actually.
So that's actually pretty good.
She dropped the buttons and then cleaned them up. So well done.
But I actually think something that I love, because, oh my gosh, that is like kind of story of my life. I feel like there's something every day where I'm like, hey, like don't, you know, like he has this broom. I'm like, don't slam it on the ground. Of course he like goes over and like watches me as he does it. I'm like, but then it gets. But I love that Janet Lansbury said something in her book. I think it's No Bad Kids. So it's, that one. And she says something like, they're going to test the boundaries, and then they're going to try testing the boundaries. What happens if I do this when you're tired? What happens when I do this when I'm tired? What happens if I do this when you're hungry? Like, mm-hmm. they're going to test it. So it's like, even though you've set a boundary with certain things, I love that she's like, that doesn't actually mean, like, they still are going to test it because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. And so I think even just knowing that it's like, if your kid does test boundaries, what Terlyn said, that means they're normal. And, like, that's a really normal part of behavior of just like, okay, well, she said that she wanted me to give her the buttons, and if I drop them, what will happen? You know, like, what is she going to do? Is she going to freak out? So, and I feel like there's a few behaviors that I can think of off the top of my head where I'm like, I don't know what to do with them, but I have to remind myself that it's like, don't give it attention. It's okay. And it's okay that he's testing these boundaries. This is like part of his little developmental phase. Mm-hmm. And that's helpful for me to realize that that's totally part of what they're doing right now. So.
Yep. I agree. All right. So we have one more question. And that is, we have had a lot of people ask us to share affirmations we do with our kids. So this is a question. I'll just read it. Evie says, I was wondering if you can share with me what affirmations you have your kids say to themselves or affirmations you tell them yourself. And what is your routine for this? I have 4 and 2-year-old boys. Thanks in advance for your time. So Terlyn's going to share her affirmations. I have already shared mine, but Terlyn hasn't shared her full affirmation.
Yes, I've told you guys how I do it, but I haven't told you my actual words. And I've got a lot of people ask me for them. So I will put them, if you go to findthemagic.co, and go to this episode, or and it's also in our show notes. Well, it won't be in our show notes on iTunes, so you have to go to the actual website. Mm-hmm. But I will link that URL on our show notes to this episode. So if you just go to that button, you'll click it. So what I did is I just, years ago, I just chose my favorite words that I really wanted my kids to have deep in their souls that they are. I just wanted them, the point of affirmations is to have it deeply in your subconscious that you don't even, it's like a just a truth that's there. You don't have to like question whether or not you're worthy or lovable because you just know you are, right? And so something that my husband, when he does affirmations with our kids, that's really fun. He'll have them stand in like a circle and do a power pose and say, you know, I am brave. And we just go in a circle a few times. We haven't done it for a while, but it is fun when he leads that. But what I do, and this I do every time I put them to bed. So me and my husband actually switch off every night. So they get this every other night. But I tickle their backs and I am not going to sing it because I'm not a singer. They get to hear my voice singing, but you guys, I will spare you. But I just tickle their backs. And it's cute because all four of them, they like lay around me and I just tickle their backs. And I put these words to the song of Amazing Grace because it's one of my favorite songs of all time. And these are the words. I say, you're smart, kind, and loving, brave, bright, and beautiful, because I used to just have girls. Now I say beautiful. And then we all like laugh and they sing, and handsome. Or I'll say, and handsome, and they'll say, and beautiful. So it's like a little add-on there. You're happy, healthy, and a hard worker. You're righteous, valiant, and spiritual. Your brain, heart, and eyes are perfect. Your immune and digestive systems are too. Your body and spirit are whole and loved, and I'll always love you. And then I say, and I hum this little tune. And then I say, I love you, and God loves you. You live a long, healthy life, and you always use your power for good. Lala Salama, I love you forever, sweet dreams. Mm-hmm. And Lala Salama is sweet dreams in Swahili. Because I went to Africa after high school, and I fell in love with that phrase. So that's what I say, and it's cute. Sometimes they sing it with me. My four-year-old usually sings it with me, and the other three usually just listen. Oh, but, cute. I mean, it's locked in all of our brains forever because it's just the same thing over and over and over and over. And I call it a love bath. I don't call it affirmations to them. I call it a love bath because as I'm tickling them, I just want them to feel just like totally covered in love. I want to, that feeling of when you're in a tub and it's warm and you're just all surrounded, that's how I want it to feel with love. Like I just want them to feel going to bed that they're just been bathed in love. So every night when we do it, you know, we do our books and we do a love bath and then snuggles. And so it's cute because I just love hearing their little voices say, oh, it's love bath time. Mm-hmm. And it's cute. So those are my words and I will put them on our website.
And me and Cameron actually do like little affirmations with Emmett. Cameron always says the same thing. He always says, you're a force for good. I love you so much. You're so lucky to have your mom. And then that's like all he says, but he says it every night. And then I do say like some of the same things, like you're healthy and strong, but it's cute. Usually as we're getting him ready, I'll just tell him all the things that I love about him. And it usually ends up being the same thing. So I'm like, I love your eyes, and, like, they work perfect. And then usually with everything I tell them that I love, I just say the things that they're, like, working perfectly, and your brain is developing and growing. So I just say it, and it's really cute because I feel like he just, he's so intent. He just, like, watches me the whole time, and you tell he's, like, locked in. Like, because sometimes, like, he might be kind of, like, a little rambunctious before bed, but then, like, as soon as we start into the process, he just, like, and sometimes me and Cam will, like, switch off between, like, he'll say something he loves, and then I'll switch off, and he'll just, like, look back and forth. So it's really cute because mine is 18 months old, but I feel like we've been doing it since he was a baby. And I mean, even when he was just a really little baby, it felt like he was like still like sound with it. So I feel like you can do this like when they're brand new babies, and I feel like it's really beneficial. So
I also would say the note that we all do it at, well, I also do affirmations at bedtime, and I think it's cool to see how it affects them even though they aren't saying it. So sometimes we think affirmations, the kids need to be like repeating it back or like reciting it, but just hearing us tell them, it's absorbing into their little brains and they are remembering it. So it doesn't have to be like an act that they have to do. They don't have to, I'm sure they all have it memorized. you know, because we say it every single night. It's being absorbed, but you can like give them that gift of affirmations just by saying it to them. So I love that. All right. Well, amazing questions. Thank you. And remember that you can send us questions on Instagram. We're at Find the Magic Podcast, or we love it when you leave your questions in a review because that helps us as we help you. All right, let's find the magic.
Me, 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 me. Brown cows.